Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Self-harming intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 61. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. Follow the show at America's Game Pod as well on there. And I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the teardown king, Mike. What's going on?
Stop it. I'm feeling good today, even though today was a terrible day at work, Eric. But last night, I mean, we're recording this on Tuesday night. Monday Night Football is, I hate the doubleheader thing because I want to just watch like one game and pay attention to it. But it was kind of nice to start football a little bit earlier and then finish, you know, felt like a little bit later. And damn, Jaden Daniels, man. God, it makes me feel good. He makes me feel good.
That was your number one quarterback in this class over Caleb, and it's proven out to be true so far. So, yeah, shout out to you on that one. Yeah, I kind of don't like the doubleheader thing either. I kind of like it being one game. Yeah. It's how it's always kind of been. And here we go again next week. We're going to have the same thing, two more games on Monday night next week as well. But it's the NFL. They're king. They can do whatever they want, and they don't give a fuck all about what we think.
I didn't mind it when they had, like, the, you know, they'd have, like, a 6:15 central for me, like, start time. And then they'd have, like, a 9 o'clock game my time. You know, it'd usually be a West Coast matchup, you know, like the Raiders and Chargers or something like that. That was fine. I'll stay up a little bit later on Monday night and watch the late Monday night game. But obviously the East Coasters, they won out. They're like, hey, man, we're not going to finish a football game at 1 a.m. on Monday night.
Shit, I can't even make it up past the regular Monday night game. Fourth quarter comes, I'm done. I'm out. I can maybe get through some of the third quarter, but two good games last night. Week three overall, I mean, and just the season overall, a lot of upsets so far, man. Like, I think the three biggest underdogs of the week all won outright this week. Cost me a lot of money, too, fucking cocks.
Our pool's not looking so good for a lot of people.
That's not looking good. So this is how crazy it is. There's one league I'm in where they do, like, the survivor pool along with the league, and it was down to three teams, me and two other guys, going into this week. We already cleared out like half the field. And then all three of us lost this week because those two picked the Raiders over Carolina, and I picked Tampa over Denver, and all three of those shit the bed.
Man, what a rough start for bettors. What a rough start. I think I'll stick to prop bets. Like, that's probably the best thing. And even that's sketchy because quarterbacks are playing like shit all over the league.
Yeah. I came in with into the week like, oh, Tampa is my number one. They're at home. They're playing shitty-ass Denver. I'm putting them in like all my parlays and everything. I feel so confident about it.
I'm wrong.
Here, thanks, Baker. Appreciate it.
Wrong. Cleveland Baker showed back up, man.
Pretty much, yeah. It was bad. I mean, shout out to the Broncos. Like, they didn't come in there and lay down and get beat. Like, Bo Nix actually played pretty decently and without any weapons. So it was pretty nice.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, it's a wild season so far, man. Hopefully we get a little bit more normalcy, quarterbacks start performing a little bit better, and we'll get a better feel of, like, who's good, who's bad. I didn't have the Vikings, the Sam Darnold-led Vikings, being one of the best teams in the NFC, but listen, the 49ers 2 weeks ago, I was like, okay, you know, things will happen to the NFL. And then they came and they beat the shit out of the Texans, and I went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hello.
The 49ers, they've had so many injuries so far, but they're still, like, playing pretty decently. It's not like Brock Purdy played a hell of a game last week.
He was balling.
Defense kind of just sucked there at the end for them. And then, the Vikings, man, I give it to shout out to Brian Flores. Definitely, like, the coordinator of the year so far. Absolutely. No doubt, Brian Flores. He has that defense playing lights out right now.
Man, you think Tua got him fired up with his interview right before the season started?
He might have. I mean, Flores, like, it started off pretty shitty last year, and then towards, like, the middle part, the end of the year, he got that defense turned around. And then I thought, like, all right, they just let Danielle Hunter walk. You know, they just added some guys to rush the passer. No, Dallas Turner was even out last week, too. So they haven't, like, really addressed that. Their cornerbacks, I thought were still shitty. Like, they had that one unfortunate with the one rookie kid that passed away during the offseason that they drafted in the third round. And, like, their corners were hurting. I mean, they signed Gilmore. But, man, they've been playing lights out so far. So, yeah, kudos to Brian Flores and the Vikings. They've been doing really good so far.
Playing really well. Really well.
For sure. All right, so let's get into it here. So on this one, we're going to talk about the rookies so far and kind of evaluate them through the first three games and kind of talk about what we would trade for them, what we would trade them for, all that kind of good stuff. Let's just get into it. So I pulled up my rankings from this past rookie draft season, so I kind of have a list of the rookies here. So we'll start with Caleb Williams first. Probably not the greatest start to the season there for Caleb Williams so far. Did come back this week and threw the ball a little bit to Odunze. Cole Kmet did pretty good this week as well. What's your thoughts so far on Caleb?
First 2 weeks, first 2.5 weeks, I guess, were horrible. This last half that he put together looked really good. Now it's Colts aren't the strongest defense, but I thought he really settled down and looked a lot more comfortable, started making Caleb Williams-esque plays. So you kind of hope this continues moving forward. I'm not going to panic on Caleb just yet. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback. It's the Bears organization. It's, you know, shame, Waldron. It's rough. It's rough for him. He's been without Keenan Allen, so, and they can't run the ball for shit at all.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody on that team.
Yeah.
They can't run it at all.
Yeah, it's a completely non-existent run game right now. They finally activated Roschon Johnson this week, and he was their best running back this week. So
right off the rip. Yeah. Yeah. 3.8 yards per carry. So
yeah, I mean, it's not like he like made earth-shattering moves here or anything, but I would assume he's going to be active going forward and probably at least the running back two, if not the running back one. Khalil Herbert, I don't even think he's been over like 12 yards this year in a game.
Yep.
So I think that Khalil Herbert experiment is done right now. Swift has been awful as well. So, yeah, if Roschon can get in there. But, yeah, Caleb, I thought he played pretty decently this week. He's got a home game this week against the Rams. So I think this is actually a really big game here for Caleb. Hopefully Keenan Allen can get back practicing here so they can get Keenan Allen in there. I think that would help a lot. Romo Odunze is doing Romo Odunze things. Like the first week, I think he was coming off the injury that he suffered. He was okay. He's kind of been a little banged up the first couple weeks, but yeah, this week he finally had that big touchdown play, big game for Rome. So overall for Caleb, though, I think I definitely want to see a little bit more. Hopefully that offensive line can block a little better. Those weapons can start getting healthy. They could develop some sort of run game. But I kind of agree with you about Shane Waldron. Like, I think that might be one of his biggest hindrances so far this year. Like, Waldron, like, is not it, like, anywhere he's been. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to get fired right during the season here. Again, the Bears would be going away from their coordinator during the season, but I don't see that happening. So we'll kind of hope that Waldron can at least get Caleb pointed in the right direction here.
Yeah, I hope they just they kind of figured something out this last half of football, you know, when they had to. I mean, Indy was taking it to them there for a bit, so I hope they kind of figured some stuff out and were like, this is how we should play our offense, right? Throw to Rome, throw to Cole Kmet, throw to DJ Moore, throw to Keenan Allen, and fuck everybody else.
Right. So what do you think, like, if I went to you, what do you think Caleb's price is in Dynasty right now, just straight up? Would it be, do you think he's in the 3 first, 2 first?
I think he's fallen out of that 3 first territory just because of the slow start, and there's plenty of concern around him. I think he's probably in that 2 seconds, or not 2 seconds, 2 first territory. Two firsts, and you probably got to add a little bit more just to juice it to get somebody to really move off of their priors. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's kind of tough if you want to go out to get him, because I don't think there's a lot of people out there. But, Eric, you and I both know we play in some leagues with some subpar players who panic at the drop of a hat. So, you know, I'd fuck around and I'd send 2 firsts, and just if they decline it, they decline it. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, well, first you got to have the 2 first to be able to do that. Usually for me, like 25 and a 26 first, I usually don't like doing that, giving up 2 firsts for 2 years in a row. But I guess for Caleb, that's probably a guy that I would do it for, though, just because the pedigree. He does look really good when he has played, especially during the preseason. So I think this is just a couple bumps in the road here early on in his rookie season. So I'd be willing to make that trade for sure. And then, what about, like, somebody you would tear down from Caleb to? Is there, like, so kind of looking at keep, trade, cut right now, like, Jordan Love and Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray are above him. And then below him is Anthony Richardson, Justin Herbert, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott. Would you tear down from Caleb to, like, Richardson or Herbert, Purdy, Dak?
See, I still believe in A-Rich, so for me, yeah. Like, because okay. I view that as a lateral move. But if somebody's going to let me get anything on top of A-Rich, I think I'd just take that one.
Take that one, yeah.
I just like it from the – listen, I'm not saying NFL quarterback-wise these guys are going to be the same thing, right? A-Rich definitely has his struggles, and he's got a lot of growing up to do to be an NFL quarterback and be successful. But from a fantasy perspective, we did already see, you know, we saw in week one, like, what he can do on 9 completions, right? Because he's running the football. Last 2 weeks, if you're still an Anthony Richardson believer and you're not fully panicked yet, I mean, there is some concern, but, like, I'm still good. I still want to buy into that because that dude's got QB1 overall type ceiling. He really does. Yeah. If he could just get a little bit better at the passing because the rushing is so good.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically like Richardson's rookie season, too. He only played, what, 3 or 4 games last year, too. So, and the guy had 14 starts in college. So this guy hasn't started a lot of ball games.
Right.
So he's still just as young as Caleb Williams and these guys. So, yeah, I could see that. I think tearing down to Herbert, Purdy, or Dak, I wouldn't be interested in, though.
No, I'm kind of good. I'm kind of good on all those guys. They just don't really move the needle for me. If I was going to, like, really tear down, it's going to be to, like, a Penix, a J.J. McCarthy, a Drake May, something like that, that I could have, you know, obviously I don't need him to perform. Right? If I'm a contender, obviously I can't fucking do that right now. But if I'm a more wait and see, but, like, that territory, man, like, geez, I'd probably smash most of those trades if somebody would give me, like, Penix, McCarthy, or Drake May in 2 firsts or something real close to that. Like, that's just too good of a package for me to say no to.
Yeah, I don't know if somebody would give you Penix and 2 firsts. They might, but because we were talking about 2 firsts is probably the price.
Yeah.
Would you do Penix and 1 first?
If it was with the way this class is kind of going upcoming, which we'll talk about later, is maybe if it was on the mid to early side, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if it's, you know, a super team in the league, no. Nah, I'm good, man. I'm good. Because I'm definitely not getting something there that I feel really, really confident about now. But, you know, if you tell me it's a top five pick-ish, this class is looking pretty fucking good. I think I could roll with a Penix and whatever that pick's going to be.
Okay. All right, next guy up, the man from last night, Jaden Daniels. Right now on Keep Trade Cut, he's quarterback 6.
Should be QB1.
Yeah. I don't want to go that high, but yeah, this whole first 3 games has been pretty good so far. Like, yeah, he's had some rough patches. Yeah, he still thinks he's fucking Johnny Knoxville out there, and he needs to get down and slide.
He slid last night. You see that?
Yes. Yes.
One slide. I saw them put the graphic up, like 35 rushes, one slide. Good job. Got one.
The Giants one scared me from week 2. He got, like, pancaked between 2 Giants guys. I'm like, oh, this dude's...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Going to break a rib or something. But hopefully he starts learning that. Like, he's flinging the ball downfield. That pass to Terry McLaurin was right on the money last night. That was a beautiful throw. You know, goal line situations, like, he can just do that read option. He just walked right into the end zone. He could have fucking cartwheeled into the damn end zone if he wanted to last night.
I mean, he gets offensive linemen wide open.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, really, really good so far. So I'd probably say 3 firsts for Jaden Daniels is the going price right now.
At least. And if you're coming to me, like, you better make sure one of those firsts is good. Or, you know, I'm not doing it for 3 random firsts. You can fuck off.
Right. Would you do Caleb Williams and a first and a second for Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I think I'd do that. I love Jaden to death, too, but I still believe enough in Caleb that that's just, that's just probably a good process.
They're not
even
bad.
Even as much as I want to deep throw Jaden every day, then, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, you're like, all right, buddy, get your shit, get out. On to the next.
Right. Yeah, it's a really... Yeah, that one's tough, man. I don't know. Caleb a first and a second. I guess they're not that far off of each other right now still. And, we both still believe in Caleb. Like, we don't think he's going to be dog shit or anything. So I think that could work, yeah.
I mean, some other options, you know, if somebody wanted to give you, like, Kyler or a Rich and a first, like, I'm in on doing that. I'm going to take Jaden Daniels over Kyler and a Rich straight up, though. So, like, I really like Kyler. I like a Rich still, but... Like, the way this trajectory of Jaden Daniels is going, come pay the price if you want him, I guess.
Are you willing to pay the price? That's the other question. Would you, if you have Anthony Richardson, would you take your Richardson and first to go get Jaden?
No, I wouldn't do it conversely. Now, I'd do it for something like Joe Burrow or Jordan Love or Justin Herbert or Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Definitely.
I think that's definitely something people can explore. Make your league mates make that decision. Well, do they want that first and tear down a little bit and give you Jaden, and you can have maybe the next Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen tier type quarterback there. I think that's definitely worth exploring for sure.
He's looking pretty good, man. I had the bold prediction. It just kept getting more bold and more bold by the fucking week for me, but. This guy, he's going to be approaching top 6 quarterback. Like, not just dynasty. I mean, an actual effective fantasy production here real soon, which is nuts from a rookie.
Yeah. He's been absolutely insane this week. And then this week,
as of right now, he's QB2 overall in the season, for fuck's sake.
And this week, we get him versus Kyler. So, Kingsbury's both of his guys. Kind of
both
see how
dudes.
This one, we'll see how this one works out. I actually have both of them in my redraft leagues, and I've started Kyler every game this year. I'm like, man, do I put in Jaden Daniels now? I don't know, because Washington's defense is still trash, so it's like I probably should still start Kyler.
I loved that final drive from Jaden Daniels, too, because he was, I mean, they were moving the ball, but it wasn't like huge chunk plays. He was just making the right play and the right read, and they got into a couple fourth downs, and you can just see him looking at the sideline like, don't be a bitch. Let's fucking go. I got this, right? And then he made the plays he needed to, and then finally there at the end, too, like to put the fucking game away, it's like, oh, they're calling a deep shot. Like, Cliff never calls deep shots. What the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
Dot. Touchdown, game over.
Yeah, he definitely incredible so far. Next quarterback up. So I'm going to go with Bo Nix on this one since he's the only one that's really playing right now. What have your thoughts been on Bo Nix so far? I know you weren't big on him coming into the league. But
I wasn't, and then he got the draft capital, so then he ended up being one of my most owned, if not the most owned, rookie quarterback out of this class. And I started to have some high hopes because he played pretty well in the preseason, too. Like, he looked fairly competent. And the first 2 weeks were fucking abysmal. Like, it was all my fears about why I didn't like Bo Nix in the first place. Eric, I tell you, if he would have came out this week and it would have been the same old song and dance, I would have, Jesus Christ, I done fucked up. Like, give me any first for this dude.
Jump off the ship. Yep.
Jump off the fucking ship. Give me any first. But no, it was the inverse. The fucking guy went out there and was pushing the ball down the field. And he was doing it efficiently. And then he's out there and he's running. Like, he's showing off his athleticism, which I kind of hoped he would when I took so many fucking shares of him. So it was nice to see. So I think it kind of just relit the fire, man. I'm back in on Bo Nix. Like, I'm back. And he's doing it with dog shit. I mean, they can't run the football worth a shit. There's not a running back on that team that's worth anything at this point. Yeah. Jaleel McLaughlin was supposed to be the savior, and this fucking guy disappeared. Javonte Williams looks like trash. It's like it's a Cortland Sutton and Lil Jordan Humphrey.
These
are fucking weapons, man. And this isn't Cortland Sutton, you know, with good knees from like 4 years ago. This is older, slower, grosser Cortland Sutton.
Marvin Mims can't even get on the fucking field. Troy Franklin can't get on the field. Devon Vale had a good first week, and then he's been injured the last 2 weeks. Hopefully he comes back this week, give them a little bit of help.
And Greg Dulcich's never been shit.
Yeah, he's never done anything and still hasn't. Josh Reynolds has come in and been at least a good veteran guy. Little Jordan Humphrey, from undrafted to, you know, I think he got 9 balls this week. So he's made a little nice career for himself. What would you be comfortable trading Bo Nix for? Would you re-roll just for any 2025 first?
Or no, no. More? Yeah, I'm going to need more. I'm going to need a second on top before I even think about it. I think ideally Bo Nix is one of those guys I want to tear down to. So if somebody's still valuing like a Jared Goff a little bit too highly. Baker played really well the first 2 weeks, and then he played absolutely fucking terrible last week. So, you know, like if I could tear down from Baker to Bo Nix and pick up second in a juice piece. I don't think you get a first, but maybe you would. I definitely take that deal.
The one that I'm completely out on, Trevor Lawrence. Would you go down from Lawrence to Bo Nix
and get this fucking point? At this point, why not? Like, I think that's a deal you can get done where you get a first, Eric. I think people would trade you Bo Nix and a first for Trevor Lawrence. And fuck it, why not? I mean, the difference in points. Honestly, Bo Nix might outscore fucking Trevor Lawrence this year, and you get a free first.
I mean, I'm so out on Lawrence in our C2C league. I traded him last week for Michael Penix Jr. and a couple other pieces. I'm just done on Lawrence. Like, my team was like 1-4 or whatever it was, or 1-3 at the time. I was like, you know, I'm probably not going to win this league this year just because I had a lot of injuries and stuff so far. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just go down to Penix, who I think is going to be the future of the Falcons probably next year, and get off of Trevor Lawrence, who I think he just has the name, first overall pick, but hasn't played like a first overall pick outside of like a handful of times that I've seen him in the NFL. It's usually pretty dog shit. And it's not like, the offensive line's been average at best. They've gotten him weapons. Like, he has Evan Ingram. He had Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas Jr. now. Zay Jones, Calvin Ridley last year. Like, he's had weapons. Like, just doesn't do anything with him. ETN, too. I forgot about him. So,
yeah,
that could be somebody you could look down to tear down to. If you're a Trevor Lawrence owner, and you believe like Mike does in Bo Nix, maybe you can go get Bo Nix and a first round pick and give sign back Trevor Lawrence. I think that's something to definitely explore.
He's in a good spot too, because Sam Darnold's like right behind him on his heels. Yeah. You know, yep. As far as dynasty value goes. And I'll gladly make that one for one swap, even on a contending team. Like, I'll just take the more certainty of the guy in his first year than a guy that we've seen for a while now.
Yeah. I like that, like, Bo Nix is accurate with the football, too. Like, maybe the first couple weeks, his numbers haven't shown that, but he's usually been pretty accurate in his career going back to college. So that's, you know, a guy that I definitely kind of want. Like, somebody who's accurate. Once he gets an offensive line in front of him, he gets a couple more decent weapons, which Denver should build around him. You know, Bo Nix should be a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Like, I'm not expecting him to jump into the top 10 or anything, but if he's, like, right now he's quarterback 21, if he can go up to, like, 15, 16 and stay there, like, kind of where Jared Goff is at, I think that'd be more than fine for Bo Nix.
Be a nice dub.
The other rookie quarterbacks. So they haven't played yet or they're injured. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Penix Jr. So I'll kind of lump all three of those guys together. What do you think about, you know, would you trade those guys for any first? I'd probably say Drake May is probably worth a little bit more than that, but McCarthy, Penix, would you just trade for any random first?
No, I'm gonna hold on to those guys. I'm gonna hold on to them. You can keep your random first. I'm gonna hold on to them, especially because, listen, there has been some pretty good quarterback play out of this 25 class, and then there's also been a couple of guys that we had at the top that we're pretty close to writing them the fuck off already. A few weeks into the college football season, so. I think I'm still good rolling with these guys, even as, you know, like redshirt years kind of things. And you've seen with some of these quarterbacks who do sit for a majority of the year, they actually turn out to be pretty fucking good just sitting there and not having to take the lump. So I'm good. I'm not going to trade him for any first. On contending teams, I think like J.J. McCarthy's probably the most that I'm likely to move because I know I'm not getting anything out of him. I'm still not going to put it past the fact that Kirk Cousins could shit the bed at any given moment or, you know, hurt, whatever, and Penix might play this year. It's looking less and less likely after week one. But Drake May, on the other hand, though, definitely at the top of the tier for this. I think he's got incredible talent. Jacoby Brissett looks fucking terrible, man. Drake May is going to be starting games sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they've kind of already talked about that this week, that May is, you know, he's going to be starting here at some point this year. Brissett's first 2 weeks I thought were pretty decent. Like, he's just an average quarterback. Like, he's not going to turn the ball over that much. He's going to at least keep you in ball games, and he did that the first 2 weeks. Against the Jets, a superior defense, he got his ass kicked. But, you know, that's what you're going to expect here from Jacoby Brissett. But, yeah, Drake May, would you say first and a second or two first?
You probably got to pry two first out of me to get him. Because I want to see it. I want to see it, and I believe in it. McCarthy and Penix are definitely more acquirable, and I'll say, like, McCarthy specifically for your contending dynasty teams, there's a pretty good argument for you trading him straight up for Justin Fields at this point, because I don't think Fields is giving this fucking job back, and he's looked really good to start this season. So
I agree. I think if you're a team that's out of it right now, I think McCarthy is a guy I definitely want to go get.
Yes.
And hold them on the next year. We see what O'Connell is doing right now with Sam Darnold. Justin Jefferson's not fucking going anywhere either, so he's going to have Justin Jefferson to throw the ball to. If I'm out of it, I'm 0-4, 0-3, whatever your league is at right now. McCarthy is definitely somebody I'd like to go buy and get rid of some of my assets that are older, that are helping me win games right now when I kind of want to tank to the bottom.
Yep. I'm with you on that one.
I think that's it for the quarterbacks. Nobody really else there to talk about. Running backs. I mean, there's a few running backs we can go over. Like Jonathan Brooks, we haven't really seen yet, so I don't really want to comment too much on him. I still really like the kid, but we're probably going to have to see him play first. Trey Benson, what have you thought of him so far?
He's been fucking terrible.
Yeah.
He's looked horrible. He really has.
Yeah, it's like he's like, I don't want to say he's not ready for the NFL, but he definitely needs a little bit of seasoning.
I don't care what his athleticism is. The fucking guy can't find a hole to save his life. Like, he runs in the back of offensive linemen. It's disgusting. Yeah. Like, James Conner doesn't look like anything special out there athletically anymore. Like, he's a real shell of himself.
Right.
But he at least finds the hole, gets the yards that are there, you know, and keeps churning out yards. Trey Benson, when he comes in, even his change of pace looks disgusting. I don't know what the snap count usage was. You know, I didn't see a lot of Trey Benson highlights here this past week. I saw a lot of Emery DiMercato for some fucking reason. So maybe the coaching staff's also tired of his shit. I don't know. He does not look good at all.
Yeah, he's only had like 3 or 4 carries a game, so it hasn't been anything special so far. So sounds like you might just be out on Trey Benson. Like, if somebody came and...
I'll re-roll for a second at this point.
Reroll for any second, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if... I still want to believe in him, but I could definitely see rerolling it. Like, I think this is kind of one of my flaws, is like, oh man, I still really like this guy, believed in him. He had decent draft capital. Like, even though maybe his playing style so far has been dog shit, I still want to believe that he's actually good. It usually hinders me and hurts me in the end. So maybe I do need to consider, you know, moving off of him for like any second.
Yeah, I'm pretty close just to hitting the eject button on Trey Benson, man. It has not looked good. You were kind of hoping, like, I know he hasn't gotten a lot of carries and stuff, and it's the early season and we need to be patient with rookies, but the carries I have seen out of him on...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
TV, whenever he gets on, I'm like, what are you doing, dude? That was your fucking guard. You just ran right into the back of it. Tackled yourself. Jesus Christ.
Oh, all right. How about Blake Corum? I mean, we haven't really seen anything, but
this one we just haven't seen anything from. I'm still going to hold out hope for him. I don't, man, without all these weapons and stuff that the Rams have, and the Kyren usage, the efficiency hasn't been there, but the usage has been ridiculous. I just don't have a lot of faith he's going to hold up for the whole season. So I still kind of want to see Corum get mixed in here. So I think this is more of a hold than anything for me. Like, a fuck around and find out. I'm not going to go acquire more unless it's, you know, somebody's like, hey, give me a fucking random third for Blake Corum. Then, okay, you know, I'll go get some more. But if it's still that kind of like second price, I'm probably just going to hold on both ends.
Yeah. Yep, I can see that. If it's like a guaranteed early second, he can go. But if it's like just like a contender second, I'd probably hold. I agree with you.
Yeah.
The Rams have had so many injuries, and I don't want to wish injuries on anybody. But can Ronnie Rivers like maybe just get like a...
Fuck off.
A one month injury, so I can see Corum for a little bit. I'm kind of surprised like Corum hasn't at least like, you know, got like a drive, because it seems like, you know, Ronnie Rivers would get like one drive, like in the first game he got like a full drive to himself. That's what I want to see from Corum. Like, just give him one drive, give Kyren a little breather, and, you know, let Corum go out there and let's see what he can do. So I don't know if they just don't trust him yet. Does he not know the playbook fully yet? Maybe it's a pass protection issue thing. I don't know, because they do throw the ball quite a bit. I hopefully once we get, you know, another month down the season here in like week 7 or 8, we can revisit that and see where Corum's at.
Yep.
Jalen Wright. What have you seen from him so far?
Not a whole hell of a lot, right? Yeah. it's this Blake Corum thing. Like, Jesus, man, even with Mostert out, it's like they don't want to use him. Now, this past week, you know, I saw him in the game a little bit more, but that whole Dolphins team was fucking disgusting with no Tua. Yeah. You know, Skylar Thompson's ass. So, yep.
Right, that guy. Offensive line was a fucking
turnstile.
Turnstile, exactly.
It wasn't good, but he got a little bit more run. He broke off a couple decent ones. probably kind of like Blake Corum more in the wait and see. Like, I'm going to put him, Marshawn Lloyd, like, you know, obviously in there to wait and see. Like, I don't want to go acquire too much more, but probably not getting rid of the stuff I have.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you there. I still really like the talent. He's in the perfect offense for him. I just think the offensive line and kind of just how the offense is right now, he hasn't been able to fully show his capabilities in that offense. So we did get the Raheem Mostert injury. It just hasn't really taken place yet, especially with the Tua injury didn't help.
Yeah.
Then the two guys who are probably, you know, would maybe be RB 2 and 3 in this class if we redid it right now, and that's Bucky Irving and Braylon Allen.
Yeah.
Those guys, I know you were very high on Braylon Allen. It seemed like every third and fourth round in my rookie draft, Braylon Allen was there, and I just kept hammering him every single time, and I'm glad I did. Bucky Irving, I didn't get as many as I wanted to. I think people still liked him quite a bit. But I have a couple shares. But I think those two have probably been the best-looking rookie running back so far this year.
Yeah, Braylon Allen especially for me, because he still checks a lot of the boxes that I have. I still have some bias against Bucky Irving just because he's more of like a Devin Singletary-type like outlier prospect. But listen, you gotta recognize the outliers when they actually do happen, and I think Bucky Irving's gonna be one of those outliers. You know, that kind of profile, his size, speed, the whole fucking thing. His speed score was disgusting.
Yeah,
and not in a good way. But he's looked really good out there.
Yeah, and they talked a little bit this week that he's earned more carries. Rashad White has been completely trashed so far this year. Like, I don't know how he went from what he did last year to this. And their offensive line improved, so that doesn't make any sense to me at all. So we'll see what Bucky can do here. I think he has a shot, if he continues to outproduce White every week, to be the new Tampa Bay starting running back. And then with Braylon Allen, I mean, God, the guy's had like a touchdown in every game, it seems like, so far this year. He's like getting plays designed for him. He's going into the offense, giving Breece Hall some breathers. And I think, man, if Breece Hall went down, I think Braylon Allen's an every week starting running back, you know, RB1 in fantasy. He's a top 12 running back for me.
If something were to happen to Breece Hall, I think Braylon Allen's a league winner.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. He looks fucking good. Phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
Now, all this stemmed from lack of draft capital, and we didn't get to see him run in gym shorts. But watching that guy fucking play in the Big Ten for the last 3 years, that's that dude, man. Like, there was a reason I had him as RB1 for the longest time. Now, we adjusted with draft capital and the whole thing. Looking back at it now, like, fuck. Should have just stuck with it, man. I should have just been tooting that. I don't give a fuck about this draft capital. Braylon Allen's still RB1.
Yeah, and it's crazy to me that, like, I remember so many round threes and round fours draft picks that I got to use on him. Like, how did this guy fall this far? You know, I recognize the talent. I had him high on my rookie running back list, and I just took him every single time. So
we were all worried about Israel Abanikanda, Isaiah Davis, apparently.
Yeah, I guess. Couple other running backs. I mean, some of them haven't played or have been injured, but Marshawn Lloyd hasn't really done much yet. Ray Davis, it's kind of sprinkle here and there, but he hasn't, like, popped yet. Will Shipley hasn't even played. Estime's hurt. Tyrone Tracy's getting a little bit better. He's getting some more playing time after that ankle injury he suffered. Any thoughts on those guys?
I like Tracy, too. I mean, he's on the up and coming, and you're right. He is getting more and more playing time. I'm not the biggest Devin Singletary fan, and he doesn't have a great profile as far as, you know, staying healthy for that kind of slow, small running back. So Tracy's kind of an interesting one. He's always going to be active because he plays on special teams as a returner, and he's getting more touches on offense. It just keeps going up. I listen to your podcast, it's going up every single week. So Tracy's kind of a guy that, you know, if people are still sleeping on him, that's a dude I kind of want to be a little bit more aggressive in trying to future cast about. And Isaac Garendo is another one too, with this Jordan Mason, Christian McCaffrey thing. Mm-hmm. Listen, I never thought Jordan Mason was a very good running back, and Isaac Rendo's getting a little bit more run as we keep going on in the season. So if this McCaffrey thing really does go on for all year like some people are predicting, then Grendel's going to start a few games, and I would imagine he's going to have one or two there where you're like, fuck, man, I should have started Isaac Grendel this week.
Right. And one more I want to give a shout-out to, and I'll talk about a little bit, is Carson Steele. Was basically the starting running back this week for the Chiefs. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't continue to be. I mean, Kareem Hunt is Kareem Hunt. Like, maybe you give him a few touches here and there, but I don't see why you can't give Steele, you know, the 15 carries a game and maybe a catch or two. P. Ryan's still going to be there. Hunt will still be there. I thought Carson Steele looked pretty good against the Falcons.
Yeah, he was a nice little hammer. Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt. I love that nickname for him. He looked pretty decent. I mean, he didn't break off anything big. I think his longest rush was for like 9 yards or something.
Yeah, but he moves forward. He moves the chains. It's all you need him to do.
And he wears a number in the 40s as a white running back. Like, that's gangster right there.
Right. It reminds me of my Mike Allstott days.
Oh, yeah. The Peyton Hillis stand up. Yeah.
Yep, that too. Yeah, and then like Marshawn Lloyd, you know, I can trade him for re-roll him. I don't think anybody's giving you a second, but a third, sure, I'd re-roll him.
I think I'm on the opposite end of that one. Yeah, I think I'm going to buy in for a third. You know, I just watched Wilson lead the Packers in fucking rushing because I don't think Josh Jacobs is very good at all. But right. Marshawn Lloyd's healthy, man. I can see towards the end of the season we're talking about Marshawn Lloyd being the lead running back still.
Yeah, that's my one thing, though, too, is the fucker can't stay healthy. Like, he's been injured all offseason. Now he's injured again.
So. He's just resting up. He's like, Jordan Love's out, you know, I'm going to be out too.
Yeah. And then we kind of talked about it a little bit ago too with the Broncos running backs when we were talking about Knicks. Even though Estime is on the IR right now, I still want to believe in him too. Like, I think he could, you know, week 10, week 12 comes and he's the starting running back for the Broncos, like over Javonte, over McLaughlin, all those guys. So Estime is definitely somebody I'd still be interested in too.
Yeah, yeah. That was another guy I faded into the fucking sun, and now you're like,
yeah.
Maybe him being hurt might be a blessing, so it give me a chance to buy in a little bit, you know, pick a few up in trades as toss-ins or something along those lines. Just speculative.
All right, next, we'll do the tight ends first, just because there's only like a couple to even talk about.
Because the whole position, even the vets suck.
Yeah. So obviously Brock Bowers, he's probably tight end one or two in Dynasty now. He's just been good. He's been healthy. He's been good. Nothing else we can say. Like, he's literally like probably tight end three in fantasy points this year too.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if this was too much of a question mark of him ever like really getting into this territory. And especially it's helped that Travis Kelce's done fuck all, Mark Andrews done fuck all, Kyle Pitts has been irrelevant. It's like, you know, Dallas Goedert and Cole Kmet are leading the way for tight ends, and then everybody else sucked ass. You know, Zach Ertz is way up there this week.
Terrible.
Zach Ertz is like a decent tight end on fucking three catches for 38 yards, you know what I mean? Right. Like, it's a rough scene for the tight ends. So, listen, the position as a whole is shit. I think this is probably the best thing you could have hoped from Brock Bowers, and I'll be bold enough to say that, listen, I like what I see from him. The tight end position has been a barren wasteland, but the right process play for me is going to be like if people are value him in at this two first fucking level, you know, because he's tight end one and, you know, we like he's a positional advantage, whatever. I'm fucking selling. I'm selling them all. Like, you can take it. Like, once upon a time, Kyle Pitts was worth damn near three firsts, and if you didn't sell at that time, you hate your fucking life. So Brock Bowers, if he's approaching even iota close to that, to just cash out.
Yeah, he could be approaching the three first. Like, somebody could go crazy for that. I definitely see two first is probably what the asking price is right now. If you could get two first and, like, Colby Parkinson back, I'd be fine with that.
I'm with you. Two first and Hunter Henry, man. Sign me the fuck up.
Yeah, something like that. I could definitely see that. Theo Johnson, not somebody I like absolutely loved and was taken in my drafts. I think I only got like one or two, but he is the starting tight end for the Giants right away. He's not doing anything with it. I haven't thrown him the ball yet, but he's out there for damn near 85% of the snaps. And that's all you can ask for your tight ends, just to be out there 85% of the snaps. So I think Theo Johnson is a guy I could definitely buy low on and just kind of see what happens there.
He almost had a touchdown this week. Daniel Jones just overthrew him in the end zone versus your Browns. So I was like, oh, shit, Theo almost got a tutty, this week. Yeah, I mean, he's probably still dirt fucking cheap. Like, nobody gives a shit. You know, Coop out there calling him nothing but a blocking tight end, but it's made Daniel Bellinger irrelevant. People were like, that's the tight end to own in New York.
That's who I thought, too.
Daniel who?
Yeah, I mean, he's made Bellinger the third tight end. Like, Manhurts plays over him because Manhurts is a blocker.
Tough looks. So,
yeah. And then the only other tight end that I think is has positive buzz that I like, one of your Iowa guys again, Eric Aul.
He's looking up, ain't he? Yeah. He's looking up, man. He's started getting more usage, more snaps.
Yep, every week. He's getting better. I bet you by week 8, he's the starting tight end and somebody that you could at least call a tight end too in fantasy.
This is a big miss for me, too, because I thought this was going to be a major redshirt year for Eric Aul. That motherfucker's been playing since week 1.
Yeah.
What?
And I liked McLaughlin better than him in my rankings, and McLaughlin's been inactive every single week, but they also have 17 fucking tight ends on the roster. Don't get me started on that.
Hey, man, I was with you on the McLaughlin thing, but it was real nice because I had a free roster spot, you know, after week 1, and I was like, oh, fuck, dude can't even get active. I just cut him, and if I see something, like he gets like one target or something in the game, maybe I'll be right back in. But until then, free roster spot, baby.
And then, oh, one other one, too, Stover, Cade Stover for the Texans. Brevin Jordan just went on IR. So I think Cade Stover is going to get out there a little bit more. And if Schultz gets injured, Stover's a starter.
Yeah.
So I think that's another guy. If you're looking for a throw-in in a league where tight ends actually matter, I think Stover would be a guy I'd want to try and get.
Yeah. RIP all the Jatavion Sanders shit, though. Like.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Tremble was injured all year and then came in and played 86% of the snaps this week. So
maybe Raz at a tight end does mean something, and Jatavion Sanders had a terrible fucking Raz score.
Yeah.
It's atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the Panthers in general. But maybe he has a little bit of hope with Dalton.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In there. Ben Sinnott, I want to say saw this coming, but he's just kind of been redshirted, kind of like Trey McBride was under Cliff Kingsbury, and Zach Ertz is playing above him. So
maybe tell him, Eric, you saw it coming. Just be honest. You fucking saw this coming, which we faded Ben Sinnott into the sun because we didn't give a shit. He's like, if you really like Ben Sinnott, go buy him in 2025 offseason, just like Trey McBride.
Yep.
And stop with this bullshit about he's tight end. No one gives a fuck. No, he's not even close. He's not in the same breath.
John Bates is playing above him.
Good Lord. So. Good Lord, man. Washington's offense was cooking last night, and I think I saw Ben Sinnott on, like, 2 highlights, but it wasn't because he was getting the ball thrown to him. They didn't give a fuck.
No. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring up, like, Sinnott is a guy I'd like to get if people just give up. If I can get him as a throw-in, yes. I don't have to play him right away. That's probably more of a 2025 play. Ertz is gonna die here eventually, you know. It is what it is. So Sinnott probably needs a year of development, but
needs some seasoning.
Yeah, just a little bit of seasoning. But that's really it for the tight ends. The rest of them are all
shout out Fizz. He needs that Mambo sauce.
Yeah, they're all dog shit. All right, wide receiver. So we'll go with the big three here to start. We'll start with Marvin Harrison Jr. So far, you know, first week was a little rough, but ever since then he's been pretty damn good.
Yeah.
As advertised. Right. Probably remember, still worth your 3 first. Like,
when he's too slow. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, because, we don't have any testing on him. And, he only ran 17 miles an hour week 1. Yeah. Okay.
That was like the Jamar Chase can't catch fucking pulse because they don't have stripes on him.
Right. Yeah.
Or Justin Jefferson is, who the fuck was that shitty receiver? Olabisi. This is our Marvin Harrison moment, you know, just like those two guys. I love it.
Yeah. Still amazing. Still worth three firsts for me. If you got them, you know, obviously you took them first or second overall, so you're still dealing with them. Malik Nabers. That's a guy.
God.
Yeah, he should have been the number four pick. Like, I think I'm taking him over Drake May, McCarthy, those guys every single time.
Ooh.
Like, you could argue with Jaden Daniels, Caleb Marvin, like, and Malik, any of those four, whatever combination you want to put those in. Like, I wouldn't argue with you on any of them. Like, Malik's up there with Marvin. He's as good, if not better than Marvin.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. In the drafts where I was quarterback whoring and, you know, took a Drake May or JJ McCarthy over Malik Nabers. Yikes. My bad. My bad on that one. I went with the process, but like, fuck, I should have taken Malik Nabers all over the place. That dude's him.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I did the same thing. I maybe took a May or whatever above him, but I do have some Nabers, and I'm glad I do. Odunze, I don't think he's had the same impact as Marvin and Nabers have had, but I think Odunze is like, if I had to tier him, I think Harrison and Nabers tier one, and then Odunze probably leads off tier two.
Yeah. Oh, definitely leads off tier two. Like, yeah. I think he's still in, because it's early season. Marvin and Nabers have obviously done more. Nabers especially has done a lot more. But you saw this last week when Rome Odunze's cooking. The talent level is there with those other two.
Yeah.
It really is. And he's got the second best quarterback out of the group. You know, Kyler the first, but Daniel Jones definitely the worst. I think you're going to see it a lot more as the season cooks on, man. And I think a lot of it's going to have to deal with DJ Moore drawing number one coverage all the time and Rome Odunze being able to cook on the other side. So
yeah,
I'm excited for what I saw this past week, especially in that second half, and I'm looking forward to more. And I don't think it's going to stop here. You know, I think next week if we were to do this show, you'd be like, God damn, Rome Odunze went out and had another 17, 18 fantasy points. Fuck. Like, he's going to be back in that tier one conversation with those other two guys. They just have looked more splashy at times through the season so far than Rome.
Yeah. Is he two first and a second?
Rome?
Yeah.
I don't think you have to pay that. I think because of the first 2 weeks being bad and the first half of this last game being bad, might be a first and 2 seconds maybe. First and a second and some juice piece like tossed in.
So
like,
I think he's first.
I think he might be more in that like Smitty category as far as like what you have to give up to trade for him. Maybe Jalen Waddle-esque.
Okay. I can see that. All right. So those three are pretty easy. Next one up, Brian Thomas Jr. I thought,
if only he had a quarterback.
Yeah, that too. This is kind of what I expected from Brian Thomas Jr. so far. Like, he was going to have some splash plays. I didn't think he would be, like, up here with Harrison and Nabers or Odunze, like, catching 15 balls a game or something like that. But I think he's a really good number one overall wide receiver with a lot of talent. If the Jags can block and Trevor Lawrence can get some time to throw him the ball, like, I don't see why there isn't any reason, like, he can't be as good as, like, what Calvin Ridley was last year for them or something like that, but even better, actually.
Yeah, I think he kind of got pushed down. A lot of people were worried about Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk. And, you know, Christian Kirk did lead the game in targets last night, but Ryan Thomas getting 9 fucking targets, too. You're like, they're drawing up plays for him specifically. So
yeah, he's their alpha.
He's looked really good. Definitely, if you want to talk about tradability, unless you're coming to me with a first and a second, and they're fairly decent picks, I'm not moving him.
Okay. Xavier Worthy, what do you think about him so far?
Week one, vindicated. Ever since, nothing. I mean, they're trying to get him involved. It's tough, man. Rashee Rice is just dominating this fucking touches, and Patrick Mahomes is playing like shit, to be honest.
Yeah. It's like that meme. Week one, maybe good. Week two, three, maybe shit.
Well, week fucking one, man, I had boners. It's like, oh my God, look at this guy. And ever since, it's just kind of been like, did you guys forget he was on the fucking team?
Yeah, it's like they haven't really been using him as much. So hopefully that increases as the season goes on here. Like, I don't need to see Mahomes throwing the ball to fucking Juju anymore. Like, let's get the ball to Worthy. Let's get him out there.
Why are we giving 3 targets to Juju? We're giving 2 targets to Justin Watson, a couple targets to Noah Gray. Like, fuck off with this.
Yeah, like, let's get Worthy more involved. Like do a fucking drag route. Let this guy get in some open space and run. Like, do some quick screens to him. Obviously, he can do the deep ball. Like, let's see Mahomes unload some fucking cannons to this guy.
We're waiting. We saw one in week one, man. It's that's what I'm talking about. And then,
like, even the end around stuff. Like, he hit that, he was gone.
Yeah.
So
I'm waiting. Yeah. I think it's going to come. So I'm still being patient. You know, I think if you got a little bit of lull here after the last 2 weeks, I might buy into a little bit more. I'm going to double down on Xavier Worthy.
I'd probably say any 2025 first is probably his price.
I'll buy for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll buy in for that, I think. I'm not going to sell for that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna need a second on top, but yeah.
All right, how about Ladd McConkey so far? What have you seen from him?
It's tough because, I mean, he's had some moments, but this fucking offense of the Chargers, as far as passing games concerned, is really meh.
Yeah, I don't even think Herbert's gone over 200 passing yards yet.
No, it's fucking really disgusting, which I kind of anticipated. What I did not anticipate is that Quentin Johnston would have a little bit of a resurrection. You know, I know it's, you know, a lot of touchdown base, but the fucking dude's getting the points. Like, he's getting the fantasy points. I didn't think he was actually going to be a problem, and this might fucking kill Ladd, to be honest. Like, you're stuck in a shittier passing offense, and somebody we wrote for dead is leading your team as a wide receiver. It's fucking tough.
Yeah, I'll eat the big shit burger on Quentin Johnston. I said he was the next Treylon Burks. I was putting shovelfuls of dirt on him. That dude has undertakered me, and he's risen, and he's chokeslammed my ass a couple times so far. So, shout out to him so far. He's doing really good. Definitely could be the Chargers' future wide receiver one if he keeps it up. I mean, Palmer hasn't done shit. Everyone thought Josh Palmer was going to be amazing this year. DJ Chark's been hurt. And McConkey is kind of what we thought he was. He's going to be a slot receiver. You know, he's going to catch 5 balls for 38 yards, and that's kind of what he's done so far. So,
yeah.
I mean, if somebody still believes in McConkey, if they want to give me a second and maybe another receiver back, I'd be okay sending away for that.
That's probably the play. I don't know if I have Ladd, if I'm just going to take a random first, right? Especially 3 weeks in.
I don't know if anybody's giving you a random first.
It'd be tough, right? Yeah. Be a tough ask. I think it'd be like, if I was going to actually, though, take a first for him, it's going to have to be somebody I want to bet against, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ladd McConkey's not going to fix your fucking team, buddy.
No.
Like, I want to bet against that and re-roll it. But, you know, if it's, you know, like, say I'm in a fucking super team, like Adam's got a super team in one of these leagues. If he's like, I'll give you my first for your Ladd, I'd be like, you can lick my balls. I'm good. I don't want your 111, 112 for Ladd. Right. Like, I'd rather fuck around and find out, and maybe Greg Roman, you know, has to retire because he's got heart problems or something.
Right. I think the next guy to talk about, we'll go Keon Coleman. Finally caught a touchdown last night. Screwed me on a couple of my bets because I figured he would have had a better game. And he was in and out of the lineup because of being late for meetings and shit, I guess, was his discipline. I'm like, really? Are we really playing Valdez Scantling and all these other turds over him? And that was why, but at least he caught a touchdown last night, looked nice on it. He's kind of been like their leader in snaps and all that the first couple weeks. Obviously, last night he didn't happen. But yeah, I mean, I think he's been okay so far. Like, nothing great, nothing amazing.
Yeah, I think he's been fine. I think for all these wide receivers that we talked about, Keon was probably the one that we knew was going to take a little bit more time to develop. Like, we didn't really think the chemistry was going to be there till later in the season with Josh Allen. He did only have one target last night, but it was at least a touchdown. So I don't think a lot of people are starting Keon Coleman early in the season. I'm still fine with him. He's kind of like some of those running backs we talked about where I'm not really, like, buying in because there hasn't been enough for me to feel good about yet. But I'm not going to sell either. Like, I'm not just going to re-roll into you know, your early second next year. Like, because what the fuck's that give me? Like, it'd be the same thing that I got right now, but at least this one plays with Josh Allen, and, you know, he's young. It takes a little bit.
All right, a couple of other receivers we can talk about. So, A.D. Mitchell, he's been up and down. This week with Josh Downs coming back, he pretty much only played, like, 14 snaps or whatever the hell it was. Troy Franklin, we kind of mentioned him earlier. He hasn't done fuck all. Leggett, I kind of like Leggett now with Dalton. Like, I can see Dalton getting him the ball here the next couple weeks. So I'm really interested in Leggett and seeing what happens here now that he has an actual NFL quarterback to throw him the ball.
That's the guy I kind of want to buy on the upswing. Like, I had a lot of, definitely took a hit with the Panthers being fucking terrible, and now looking at it, I kind of want to buy on the upward possibility, right? A little speculative buy.
Yeah, and Thielen being out too. Like, I think if Thielen was there, I wouldn't be as optimistic, but with Thielen missing a month, this is Leggett's time to take over the wide receiver two job. So definitely agree with you. Like, if you can buy Leggett this week before maybe he has a big touchdown against the Bengals this week, I would try and do that. So I agree with you.
And this isn't a young wide receiver with a bad hammy. This is like a 75-year-old wide receiver with a bad hammy. So
right.
This is like Julio Jones when he got hammy injuries. Like,
right.
This could be the end.
Could be. Yep.
He might be back. Yeah, sure. I've heard this one before. Right. We may never see him play football again either.
Yep. Two guys have been injured so far. Pearsall with his stuff that went on. Roman Wilson should play this week, hopefully. So we'll see what he's got. Jalen McMillan, he's been the number three receiver for the Bucs. Just hasn't really, like, done too much with it yet. Jalen Polk's coming on. I like Jalen Polk a little bit more. Jermaine Burton hasn't really done too much with the Bengals. Any other receivers?
Luke McCaffrey's been okay. Like, he did some things last night. Yeah, yep. I didn't mind him coming on. I think out of that whole group that you just named, though, I'm with you. Polk and McCaffrey would probably be the two guys that I kind of want to buy on the low, or kind of why it's quiet as more speculative buy. I Jermaine Burton had all the opportunity in the world with no T. Higgins through the first couple weeks. Jamar Chase on a pitch count week one. You know, it's like all you had to overcome was fucking Yoshi Voss and Trent Irwin, dude, and you still couldn't do it, right? Roman Wilson, maybe if you want. Like
they literally have nobody else, man.
Yeah, I mean, Calvin Austin's out there getting a shit ton of run. Maybe Roman Wilson, if you kind of wanted to buy why nobody's talking about, I think that would be fine. McMillan, week one, it was like cool.
Caught touchdown.
Like, it's kind of like what I talked about with Adam.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
On the recap show, with Chris Godwin in the slot, like, there's nobody. Mike Evans has become fucking irrelevant in this offense. Like, this is the Chris fucking Godwin show, man. So, even if Mike Evans gets going, what's that left for Jalen McMillan in all reality? Like, nothing? Like, who gives a fuck at this point?
And then some of the other, like, hot names that people liked, are you just completely out on? Like, Malachi Corley.
Dude, yeah.
Malik Washington.
No. I mean, they are what they are. I was an Anaya Smith guy. That's fucking dead. Yeah. Taj Washington's on IR for the whole fucking year. That's dead. Johnny Wilson looks fucking abysmal, man. Go to tight end, because you cannot play wide receiver. You look like a big lumbering fucking idiot out there. Right. You can't even catch the ball.
And then, like, I rated 64 wide receivers for this draft class, right?
You're
the only one. Yeah. So, like, looking at from, like, 25 down, like, nobody has, like, popped besides for, like, one guy, and it was a guy you were on, and that was Jordan Whittington. Like, the rest of these guys are all dog shit.
Jordan Whittington, baby, had the most shares of any rookie was Jordan Whittington, because he was free. Yeah. It was free. And look, he's got a major opportunity now. No cup, no Puka. Just got to do something, man. Just wait till Tutu Atwell gets hurt. Jordan Whittington will be the man.
Yeah. I mean, Whittington did play a little bit this week. I think he was still fourth among the receivers, but he caught some balls, and I think he's only going to get used more. So
he's out there because he's a blocker and he's an energy guy, and he does all the things that have made Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua successful as far as getting on the field, right?
Yeah.
He bring the energy, block your ass off. So he's going to be on the field. We just, come on, throw him the ball some, a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, he just needs to, you know, wake up early, go to breakfast with Matt, and he'll be
all right. I mean, yeah, Cooper can't go to breakfast with him anymore, you know?
Right.
Let's do it. Come on, Jordan.
That'd be nice. All right. So let's do... let's do a real quick rookie mock. Just one round, you know, super flex, 1.5 tight end premium, just a regular type of league. We'll do the top 12 picks if we were redrafting right now. So since you're the guest, I'll let you have the easy first pick.
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that was pretty easy. I think second overall and a super flex. I mean, he's still a top rated top 10 quarterback. I can keep trade cut. So I guess I would go Caleb.
There you go. There you go. I thought you were going to go something a little bit different. That's fine.
Yeah, I always value the quarterback position, especially like you look on this keep trade cut and look at these bottom quarterbacks just like after like where it's Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield, Goff, Darnold, Fields, Carr, Geno. Like I can't trust any of these fucking guys week to week. Like at least Caleb, I think, has the promise to be, you know, close to what Jaden Daniels is.
I'm going to do it here. Then it's the third pick. Malik Nabers.
Yeah, I can see it for sure.
The hype is out of fucking control. I saw the people like the people in the fucking Savage chat this past week. Every time he did anything, they're like, all right, now it's up to 4 firsts. It's 5 firsts. There it is. 2 tutties on the day. That's 6 firsts you got to send me if you want my Malik Nabers. We're riding baby.
I think in fantasy, isn't he wide receiver number one in fantasy points right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad I drafted him in my one main home league, too, so that's been a godsend. Pick 4, pretty easy, Marvin Harrison Jr.
I get behind that one. Listen, I love quarterbacks, but I'll do something a little different here. Number 5, I'm going Roma Dunze.
Roma Dunze, okay.
Still believe in him.
I think 6, I'm going to go Brock Bowers.
Oh, there's that tight end, man. You're just doing that so you can sell him.
Well, that and or either just start him because every other end is so shitty. Like, I think he's just such an advantage. He's like, I mean, I want to say he's like the Kelsey advantage, but he's pretty damn close right now.
That's fair. Man, this is a tough one. I'm still going to stick with my heart. It's only 3 fucking weeks. I'm going to go Drake May.
Okay. Drake May at 7. I think 8. I think I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr. I still think he's a really talented player. Alpha in that offense. So, yeah, I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr. at 8.
All right. I'll take another quarterback. Bo Nix.
Bo Nix at 9, yep. I think at 10, from what I saw during the preseason and whatnot, I'd still be comfortable with J.J. McCarthy. Even though he's out for the year, I'll take J.J. McCarthy.
All right. I'm going to, especially these last couple weeks, man. All right, I'm going to pass on that one. I'm going to go Xavier Worthy. Worthy at 11. I could have gone Pettix.
I was going between.
I could have gone Pettix, but I'll go with Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, it was between Worthy and McCarthy for me. I mean, we didn't say Bo Nix yet, so I'll go Bo Nix.
Oh, I took Bo Nix like picks ago, buddy.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay.
No, I thought you took May. I don't know. Maybe you did. Anyway, okay, so if you took Nix, I'll go Penix. That would be my next one, too, just from what we saw from him in the preseason, too.
Right. There you go. There's 12 picks, buddy.
That's our 12. Okay.
There's our 12.
Who would be, like, if you had one more pick, who would be your top of the second round guy?
I think I still want to, like, speculate on Jonathan Brooks coming back now, and especially with the Andy Dalton little thing. Like, man, what could... Mm-hmm. I mean, Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders fucking had some moments this last game. So Jonathan Brooks, maybe. Ladd's going to be in the conversation. Keon's going to be in the conversation.
Braylon Allen and Bucky Irving, are they up here?
They should be up there, man. They should be up there. After what we've seen, they should be up there. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Yeah, definitely. Dude. I can definitely get behind that.
Yeah, a little Jalen Polk action. We can get some of that speculative in the second round. It'd be weird. Not a whole lot changed from the first round, like in real reality. Yeah. I mean, you had some spots move back and forth, but, I mean, there's nobody that really fell out so far, right?
Nobody that, like, you know, Denzel Mims us or anything like that. Like,
yeah, was like Jalen Reagor does.
Yeah, Jalen Reagor, Denzel Mims, whoever. So, yeah, I agree. All right.
Treylon Burks.
Yeah, Treylon Burks, too. So one more quick thing I want to go through. Cody Carpenter, he posted a mock draft. I believe last week he posted this and did a video of it. So I kind of wanted to just go over his first round, the landing spots, and the players, and kind of what you would think. I don't know how he did the draft order. I'm guessing he probably just went off of the standings right now, or what he thought maybe would happen. But first overall pick was the Carolina Panthers, Carson Beck, Georgia. What did you think of that?
Coming off of Carson Beck struggling mightily with Kentucky, no.
Yeah.
No.
No, don't like it.
No, no.
Yeah, I could see the number four pick moving up to number one here. We'll get to it here.
Yeah. Not Carson Beck.
Yeah. I mean, I like Carson Beck, but I think he's just Jared Goff.
There's not a lot of upside. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two overall, the New York Giants take Shedeur Sanders.
There you go. There's the splash play you need. Shedeur to Malik Nabers. You'd think fucking Deion would let that one happen too. Like, he'd be all for that.
Yeah, let him go to New York. Shedeur and Malik Nabers together? Whew.
Yeah. And Shadur's played really well this. I know there's people still hate him because he talked about after the Nebraska game how his offensive, you know, he made the comment basically throwing his offensive line under the bus. But rightfully so, man. As a fucking quarterback of the team, he's back there taking fucking shots and his offensive line's playing like shit. So fuck him.
Yeah, he might have to do that to the Giants' offensive line, too.
You remember Willie Beeman? Willie Beeman in any given Sunday. Y'all motherfuckers don't want to block them. Get the fuck out the way.
Yeah, I could take this shit. Yeah, I love that scene. Number three, I love this pick. Tetaroa McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona, to the Denver Broncos at number three.
Bo Nix?
Bo Nix? Just fucking throw it anywhere in the stratosphere, and Tet at 6'4", 6'5", is going to go get it.
Tet, wide receiver one. He's been a little bit more quiet since week one of the college football season. But
yeah, the week two was bad, and then week three, I think he still had 11 for 109.
Yeah. That's a down game for him.
Yeah, that's a down game for him. He's my wide receiver one in this class. I think the only one that can give him a run for his money right now is Travis Hunter. I think that those would be my 1A, 1B
you ain't lying.
For receivers.
Travis Hunter is a wide receiver. Big people.
Yeah, I agree. Number four, who I thought maybe, if he keeps fucking playing this way, could be pick number one. I didn't really think he was this good, but he's proven me wrong. That's Cam Ward from Miami, current Heisman favorite, going to the Titans at four.
How pissed are NFL teams that he might have come out in the draft last year and they could have got him at like the fifth round?
Yeah. Yeah. Now they're going to have to pay top five pick for this kid if he keeps playing this way.
He is fucking balling out of his mind. Now, I've always liked the talent, but it's been, you know, he started at a fucking some Sacred Heart Community College or whatever the fuck it was, and then Washington State, which is whatever. Then he goes to a bigger program that's going to get more notoriety, but it's also Chris Ball's kind of always been a QB killer. You're like, can he actually overcome it? And is Cam Ward really that talented? Watching that dude play this year, you're like, motherfucker, this guy's good. Like, how did we miss on this one?
Right. He won me some money this week, too, so appreciate
He's really good.
Yeah. And going to Tennessee, too, Will Levis has looked like ass.
Yep.
So like we haven't seen any improvement at all from Will Levis. So I could easily see them going to Mason Rudolph and picking somebody else here at the top if they're gonna continue to lose.
There you go.
Number five, the Colts get Travis Hunter.
Oh.
A-Rich and Travis Hunter together, that would be really nice.
I mean, they don't need him. Like, get some dudes on defense, but that's fine.
Yeah, but, like, Indy is known for taking the Raz freaks, and I bet you Travis Hunter is going to be a Raz freak.
Dead 4-3 40. Easy.
Yeah.
Like, 40-inch vertical.
Yeah. Everything. So I could see them definitely taking like a home run pick like that. Number six, the Jags. They need this one so bad. Will Campbell, the tackle from LSU. That would be a good one.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm just going to go over the offensive players. So number nine, he has the Rams taking Jalen Milroe. I still don't know if Jalen Milroe is an NFL quarterback.
Like, I don't see it either.
Like, could he be a guy that somebody takes a shot on in the second, hoping they can make him into Jalen Hurts or something? Yes, I could see that. But first round, top 10 pick, no, I don't think I could do it.
I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see it yet. I thought maybe I'd see it more with the coaching change and the more Washington-type offense, you know, more passing focus. I still haven't fucking seen it this year.
Yeah.
I see a guy who can run, and I see a guy who can occasionally make a throw. That's it. I mean, it's the talent level so far that I've seen from Jalen Milroe isn't even on par from what we saw in Anthony Richardson's limited time. So,
right,
that's kind of where I'm at on him.
Next one up, 11. He has the Cleveland Browns taking Luther Burden from Missouri. I hope the Browns move up to get a fucking quarterback.
Just not Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, just not Jalen Milroe. Just or to take the guy that falls behind him in the draft here.
There you go. But, Luther Burden, you know, Amari Cooper's getting longer in the tooth. Jerry Jeudy ain't shit. I don't know why you guys paid him. And Elijah Moore's been a perennial disappointment. So,
yeah, they definitely could use one. I think Cooper is a free agent at the end of the year. He just got a pay raise, I believe. So, number 12, the Raiders. He has them taking Quinn Ewers, the quarterback from Texas.
I like that one.
Yeah, he's played a lot better. Like, he's gotten better every single year, and even this year he's looking really good.
He looked really good, and unfortunately he got injured, and now everybody's talking all about Arch Manning. I still think it's Quinn Ewers' job. I don't think it's going to be Arch for the rest of the season. They're trying to win a fucking national championship, and their best bet is Quinn Ewers because he's played that well. I mean, he fucking dominated Michigan. Like, he was Heisman level playing in that game. So I like what I've seen from him.
Okay. Number 13, the Bears, Kelvin Banks, the tackle from Texas that a lot of people like to and think maybe he's tackle one in the class. So he might actually be
tackle one. He's a big sumbitch.
And to protect Caleb Williams, home run pick there for the Bears.
Yep.
Patriots at 14, he has Tyler Booker, a guard from Alabama. I don't know much about him, to be honest.
He's good. He's good. I like my offensive lineman. I scout offensive lineman because I'm a fat kid.
Right.
He's good.
18, the 49ers.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's Emory Jones Jr., the tackle from LSU.
Another good one.
Another good one?
Okay. Yep. It'll just depend on what they want to do with him. I don't know if he can ever be a left tackle in the league. Like I think he's got to be a right tackle. Okay. I don't think he's going to be a blindside kind of guy. I know Will Campbell's good, and that's why he doesn't play over there now, but you just don't see the same kind of fluidity from him. I mean, he's more of a mauler, so he kind of feels like that right tackle mold, but he'd be a good right tackle in the league.
Okay. Next one up is a bunch of defensive guys. Number 22, offensive tackle from Arizona, Jonah Savanane.
Don't know shit about him, though.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. 24, the Pittsburgh Steelers take Isaiah Bond, the wide receiver from Texas.
That motherfucker can fly.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was that fast. He can fly.
And the Steelers could definitely use another wide receiver or two or three.
Yes. Somebody else. Yes. Somebody outside of George Pickens, too. Like some dude who can separate downfield big time.
And Bond have this guy. Bowl. Yeah, on the opposite of Pickens, you got Roman Wilson, hopefully, in the slot. I think that would be a good fit. Next one up here is another quarterback, 28, to the Seattle Seahawks, Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback from LSU. What have you seen from Nussmeier so far?
Week one, really good. Everything else since...
Okay. It's been okay, yeah. Like, I definitely want to see some more consistency. He definitely doesn't have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. to throw to, so that kind of sucks.
Where we're at right now, there's, at least in my opinion, there's no way I see him as a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, I can see that. And then the last pick of the first – oh, there's two more, I'm sorry. The Saints take Arante Arce, offensive tackle from Minnesota.
Don't know that dude, but if he's from Minnesota, he's probably like 9 foot tall and weighs 400 pounds.
Then Iowa just play Minnesota? You don't.
Yeah, Iowa just beat their ass. Shout out Gophers. Row your fucking boat, fuckers.
And then the last pick, first round, Houston Texans, Ashton Jeanty, running back, Boise State.
First round running back. Let's fucking go, man. Yeah. See ya, Joe Mixon. Fuck out of here.
I would love to see this Jeanty in the first round. Oh, goodness.
To the Texans? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Just what we... Fuck yes.
Dude, there is so
how high are we taking them in rookie drafts, right? Just first round running back to the Houston Texans.
I mean...
Ashton Jeanty. With the top five pick?
Top five, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like some of these quarterbacks aren't great.
No.
You know, I like Tet. I like Luther Burden, so those guys will be in the conversation.
Isaiah Bond's fine. Like, he's interesting, but I'm not taking fucking him over Jeanty.
Yeah, a lot of people loved Evan Stewart. He hasn't really done much yet. He was like a first-round guy. I know not a lot of people loved him, but he was getting first-round buzz, and that's that Trey Harris from Mississippi State.
Yep.
Or Ole Miss, I'm sorry.
Ole Miss.
He's fucking killing it this year. Every time I look at the box score, the dude's got 100 yards and 10 catches.
I mean, we had Milroe and he had Nussmeier in there. Yeah. I'd like to see Jackson Dart in there. Jackson Dart's been balling Jackson his fucking Dart, ass off.
Yeah, I think I would definitely have him over Nussmeier for sure.
Yeah.
He would be in the top 15 consideration, I think, for me.
I'm with you. Outside of that, I mean, the wide receivers outside of Trey Harris, I can't make it. His teammate Antoine Wells has been playing pretty well. Tez Johnson's always been interested in Berrion Brown. But like those guys feel more like second-round kind of wide receivers. Not a lot of other first-round wide receivers outside of the top group.
Yeah.
And how dare he not have one of the two greatest tight ends to ever walk the face of the earth in the first round?
I'm looking at his
Dude, Colston range. Loveland or fucking Luke Lachey are getting drafted in the first round.
Bank yeah, I'm looking at his Debbie rankings right now, and he has Lachey as tight end 3.
This motherfucker.
He has Mason Taylor and Loveland above him.
Get out of here. Loveland I can agree with, possibly. Mason fucking Taylor.
He's been okay this year. He hasn't been bad.
Who gives a shit?
I'll tell you what, though, man. I am in love with this running back class, though. There is going to be so many running backs if a lot of these guys do actually come out this year.
Second round running backs galore, baby.
Oh, yeah. Like end of the first and second round, like both Ohio State backs, if they come out, Amarian Hampton, Ollie Gordon, Ashton Jeanty, who we talked about, Singleton, Devin Neal could come out. Devin Neal.
Rocket Sanders has looked good.
Fucking Caleb Johnson. Oh my
Caleb
God.
Johnson.
Me and you are going to be fighting over drafting him next year. I can already tell.
I love him, man. Here's the crazy thing. Like, I had that conversation with Johnny before the season started. Because he was asking about him in C2C League. He's like, still any hope for Caleb Johnson? And I said, I mean, he was banged up last year, and LeSean played some, and, you know, they're talking about this Moulton. I still like Caleb, but I'm kind of hesitant, man. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened last year. Like, he just didn't get to play enough, and I don't know why, because he was so fucking good his freshman year. And then, like, this year I went in kind of apprehensive. He didn't even start in the first half, you know, serving some sort of discipline. I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go again. He came in the second half and changed the whole offense from fucking week one, put on 100 yards just in a half, and it's all been fucking, whoo, downhill running since then, man. He's coming in with a great attitude. I love this fucking kid, man. I'm all in now.
Yeah.
Caleb Johnson, RB1. Eat a dick.
I'm all in with you. 21 years old. Pulling up his game log right now. So, yeah, that week one, first game was at Illinois State. I believe they played at Illinois State. 11 for 119, two touchdowns.
In one half.
Iowa State, which the game they should have won. 25 for 187 and two touchdowns. Then he plays Troy, 25 for 173, two touchdowns. Then a rivalry game against Minnesota this week, 21 for 206 and three touchdowns.
Brought home the bacon, literally.
Yeah, 685 yards in four games.
We're going to call this trophy the Floyd of Caleb Johnson. Fuck out of Rosedale.
Like, he is just a fucking beast right now, man. So
he's every bit of 220, 225 pretty easy. And you watch him out run in the open field, that's a 4-4 dude right there.
Oh, you know what even makes me even more sick? I just see his birthplace, Hamilton, Ohio. Dude was an Ohio kid, and Ohio State couldn't have gotten him.
Shucks.
Yeah.
Shucks.
Oh, man. But, man, he has been absolutely fun to watch. I know it's not really fun to watch Iowa football, but he actually makes it fun to watch because this dude is just a tank, man. He can outrun guys, run over people, do everything. So, Caleb Johnson, definitely looking forward to him.
Upon a time, he was committed to Cal. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God he went to Iowa for you guys.
Thank God. He officially visited a state on June 4th, 2021. Thank God he smartened up.
Yeah, there you go.
I ain't fucking coming here. You see these Iowa State women? Fuck out of here. Oh, my God. Want them Iowa City hoes.
Oh, shit.
You know what's up, man. Joey Cheesesteaks, if he's listening to this podcast, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Them Iowa City hoes.
Too funny. All right, so that's going to be it. Let's go. Let's do America's favorite game, and then we'll get on out of here. Let's see. What is your favorite college uniform for NCAA football?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I've been playing a dynasty here lately with Oklahoma State, and they got the all orange.
Yeah.
The all orange. Something about that, all that orange, I just fucking love, man. My high school colors were orange and black, so.
Yeah, same here.
I love that fucking all orange look, man. A lot of people hate it. My Mustang's orange. Bright orange, so maybe I got an addiction, but I love those. The one thing I did notice the other day, I was playing a game, and I don't know what their fucking uniforms look like, but I just saw, like, the helmet when they show it before the game, like, starts. NC State's got some, like, dope-ass fucking helmets, man. Like, shout out to the Wolfpack. Might have to check out their unis on there.
Yeah.
Look pretty good.
I mean, Oregon's always has some really cool ones.
They always got great combinations. That's a great school to play with. Another one, Kent State's got a shit ton of combinations on there that look pretty cool. So, if you're playing with a smaller one, you know, you want to go a little local. I know they suck and Adam makes fun of them all the time, but the uniform combos are good. Yeah. And then, this is a good one. Yeah, East Carolina, the fucking all-purple uniforms are dope as shit.
Yeah. They have some cool helmets, too. The helmet is really cool.
Yep.
Obviously Ohio State's a sweet. I like, they've gotten more combinations lately. Like, they used to be, like, a traditional team that just had their reds and whites with silver pants, whatever. But, like, the silver uniform and the silver pants is cool. The all blacks are actually kind of cool. I like Tennessee's all blacks. The black jersey and pants with the orange numbers. I think those are really cool.
I've seen those, and every time I play with like Tennessee or something, I'll throw them on. Like, I love the all blacks.
Yeah, those are sweet. I still love USC. Like, it's just red and white. It just looks really good. It goes together. Trying to think of some other cool ones that I've seen. I think the Tennessee ones are probably my coolest ones that I've seen lately. The black ones with the orange. I think those will probably be my favorites right now, are the Tennessee ones.
Florida Atlantic's got a pretty good one. I think they actually do. They got a good combination with their red helmet. I love it.
Okay.
I was just looking through some of these just to remind myself. Iowa's got a pretty dope all yellow one that every fucking time I have a hard time not taking it. And then that Michigan Dynasty, they're all maize uniform. I like that. I like all the yellow on that one too. Especially because this year, unlike, I think it was 14, like you can like change sock color. They actually have different color socks in there. Something about it, like putting on black socks or yellow socks, just makes it look so much better than the fucking whites.
Yep. I got Georgia Tech in the campus, the Canton Dynasty League, and they have a white helmet with gold jersey. They have an all navy blue one with a gold helmet. And then obviously the whites too. Like Georgia Tech has a couple cool ones. And then the other one I have is Liberty, and our other one. Liberty's got some cool ones too. They got a red jersey. The all blues is really cool. So yeah, I definitely got a couple decent ones that I can choose from in our NCAA Dynasty Leagues that we're doing.
I'm waiting for them to add some more. They said they were going to. Like we're missing some. Definitely, they need to be in there. And then a roster update, man. We're like week 4, week 5 of the college season. What the fuck are we doing here, man?
Yeah, I wonder if it's like, do we need to get this kid signed to the deal so he can get into the game? I wonder if they're waiting on that kind of thing.
I don't know. Some of this, they put Caleb Johnson in the last roster update, but they gave him an atrocious rating. So let's rectify this, EA Sports.
Oh, he wasn't even in the beginning?
He was not in the first Iowa Dynasty that I started before I accidentally deleted that fucker. Yeah, he wasn't in the game. They had some generic placeholder in there. I don't remember what they named him, but it wasn't Caleb Johnson.
Oh.
Yeah, big woof, huh? And now he's in there. I think he's rated like a 72. Like, he's the fourth best running back on Iowa's roster.
Ugh. Yeah.
Dead ass, man. Make that dude a 97.
Honestly, he should be. He should be in the 90s at least.
Fuck yeah, he should, man. He definitely should. I don't know what we're doing here.
Yep. All right, well, that is going to be it for this week, guys. Had fun. Hopefully you guys agreed with some of our rookie takes there. Maybe you guys can get some of these rookie deals done that we talked about. So at America's Game Pod, at Eric Vanek NFL, follow me there, at South Harmon FF on YouTube. We post a lot of videos there, a lot of video content. And then for the Twitter as well, posting all of our podcasts that you get on there weekly. Start Sit Show on Sundays has been going really good so far. If you guys want to join us for that, I host that on Sunday mornings. Definitely more than welcome to come join us live on YouTube for that. We'll help you with any Start Sit questions. Waiver Wire Show has been going good on Tuesdays as well. Hopefully that's helping you guys out a lot. Koopa's show, Matt Dennis's show, Fizzle on Fizzle Fridays, Cody and Maddie doing great job on the YouTube stuff. Mike's doing great stuff on the YouTube as well. So a lot of good stuff going on, man. Really excited to see all the stuff that we're doing right now.
Yeah, we got a little bit for everybody. And by YouTube, a little bit, I mean podcast. A fuck ton.
Yeah. Yeah, we're hitting it hard this year for sure. Everyone's doing a great job. So, hopefully you guys check that out. Give us likes, subscribe, all that good stuff, ratings. We can use all that stuff. So if you have a moment, please do that. We would really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can never say that we don't have enough content out there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That'll never be a criticism of ours, I think.
Right. All right. Any other final thoughts here, Mike, before we get on out of here?
No, sir. Just interesting to see how little we've actually changed from rookie drafts. You know, we've had a few movers, but kind of good to go back to it after 3 weeks. Yeah, interesting to see. You know, maybe in 6-7 weeks here, we get closer to the end of the season, Eric. We'll revisit it again. See what happens. See how much we moved from this one.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. for sure. So, all right, guys, that is going to be it for this week. We will see you next week for episode 62.
See you, everybody.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.